won't be over here anyway. All right, we're studying living water. Let's see what Jesus had to say about it. Let's go to first John 4. This is the woman. Okay, first of all, he's in Samaria, which anybody that was in Samaria was unclean.
Now, you said 1 John 4. Did you mean John 4?
I thought that's what I said. John 4.
You said 1 John 4. Well,
where are we going?
The Gospel of John, chapter 4. I'm sorry. I think I said first we need to go to, I want to go to John, or 1 John. But anyway, I screwed up.
You needed a comma there.
Verse 7. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy food. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is, who is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, or gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So, and let's go to John 7:38, and then we'll see something else. Now this is the last his last Feast of Tabernacles. Verse 33. Then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. You shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, there you cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, Whither will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, You shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, there you cannot come. And the last day, that great day of the feast. Now, that's the eighth day ceremony, which typified the wedding ceremony. Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So again, we have this mystery of the living water, which had to be used in the purification ceremony, the ashes. And here it says that, but notice it's in parentheses, the 39th chapter is in parentheses. But he spake of the Spirit which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now there are a whole lot of scholars that say that wherever there is a parenthesis, a parenthetical, actual putting parentheses in, that wasn't in the original text. But it doesn't matter. It's the point of him saying, out of his belly shall, if you believe on him, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, has to have something to do with any of the purification ceremonies that require what's called living water. So let's go back and let's go backwards. Let's go to Jeremiah. No, first let's not. Let's go to Isaiah 12. Because that's the Isaiah 12 was the ceremony that was going on, and it was a joyous thing. And then essentially Jesus said, why have you such pleasure in this ceremony, when he that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow the rivers of living water. So Isaiah 12. This is where it says, in that day, that's the eighth day. And this is a ceremony that was on the eighth day. And in that day, thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and shall not be afraid. For the Lord, Jehovah, should say Yahweh, is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And that day you shall say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Now what was this ceremony? Does anybody remember what's going on at the altar during this time? On the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles?
Is this the point where they sacrifice one goat and set the other one out with the man?
No, that's
Yom
Kippur.
Yeah.
Now remember, on the 7 days, they poured water into the altar. Mm-hmm. I mean, for seven days. On the eighth day, they poured wine into one and water into the other side of the altar. And that was symbolic of Messiah in 100 different ways. And every time that they did that, that was a source of great joy in the people that were watching it. And that's when Jesus stood up and said, why have you such great joy in this ceremony? He that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, again, we're trying to figure out what this has to do with the ashes of the red heifer. So let's go some more. Let's go to Isaiah 44.
I'm not sure what we really need about mixing water and wine for the altar. What was special need about that?
Anybody remember? What was his first miracle?
Turn the water into wine.
What did that signify?
Well, I mean, it's easy to figure that signified turning the people into the bride.
Right.
So why mix it back?
Huh?
Why mix it back? That's what I'm...
Well, it was symbolic of... It was symbolism. On the 7 days, they just poured water in both sides. On the eighth day, they poured water and wine. Now, the reason is that shows the
sacrifice.
Ultimate purpose of the...
Got it. Yes, it's a sacrifice at that point.
Right.
You turn into wine, then you still
okay, we're in Isaiah 44. Yet hear now, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I'll pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground, and will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the water courses. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name of Israel. Now, I just wanted, the messianic days always have to do with living water, with this mystery of water. So let's look at a couple others. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 13. Remember when Zechariah was prophet?
He's the one that was killed and his blood seethed.
He what?
Isn't he the one that was killed and his blood seethed?
No. That was another Zechariah. The prophet Zechariah is where we're going.
You say 14?
Yeah, I think so. This whole book of Zechariah is about the messianic promise. And I don't go there. Zechariah 14, or 13. In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. No, that's not the one. That's partly one. But let's go to 14. Excuse my confusion, but I should have done. I didn't find this stuff out about Isaiah and Zechariah until just before I got here, so I didn't study it first. So I have to study it while I'm doing it. In verse 4, and his feet shall stand in that day upon Mount Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And you shall say to the mountains, and you shall flee to the valley of mountains, for the valley of mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, you shall like as you fled, yea, you shall flee like as you fled from before the earthquakes in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter it shall be, and the Lord shall be king over all the land, and that day shall be one Lord, and his name one. Now this is what now is the promise in the New Jerusalem. And that water is of the New Jerusalem is flowing, but you can't partake of that water that's flowing unless you are in the New Jerusalem. Now, that combination of the waters for cleansing and signifying of the Holy Spirit, and the idea of meeting in the small Seder groups with open confession, open whatever, everything is bared, that then becomes the cleansing of the ashes of the red heifer, because we are the red heifer. And we are burned, and we'll see that in a minute, in the baptism of fire. So that the only thing that remaineth is Him in us. Now let's go to Jeremiah 2. Verse 9. Well, the whole of verse, all this is talking about idolatry. And then he said, "Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Chittim and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing, that the nation change their gods, which are yet no gods, but my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O you heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid, be very afraid, desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water." And then it goes on and on. It's all about idolatry instead of the rivers of living water. Well, yeah, I wish Gary were here. Let's go to Revelation 7. Let's do the last one. This is talking about our place in the New Jerusalem. Well, let's go. Verse 9. "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation, out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them, or dwell in them. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, and neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto the living water, living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. So again, in almost every place where the New Jerusalem is talked about, it's talked about living waters with it. And that's probably a good place to stop. I'm sorry if I was disjointed this morning.
Actually, it made more sense than usual. I'm starting to get it, because the previous verse about they make themselves gods when they were, how they changed their gods and they didn't have gods in the first place. Well, it goes without saying that Wednesday is golden calf. We'll be the golden calf again. We want it to be about glory. We don't want it to be about our death. And that living waters thing, that's tied to the ash of the red heifer, and that's tied to whether we are burned in this fire that causes our death. That's the same thing.
Okay, we got it. We'll look at the waters a little bit more when we meet next, which I don't know when it will be, because Romans are gone. Anyway, a little bit more about the waters, and then we're going to talk about the fire, the baptism of fire. It's frustrating to me, because I see something that I don't have words for, and that's, it makes me nuts sometimes. But anyway, think about these things. Or consider them, or muse on them, or whatever you do. Take a big time.